North End and Colel, Sunday 25th of November 2012, Yud Aleph Kislev Tavshin Ayin Gimel, Shir given by Gershon Heppner on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Ches, and we're up to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. I'd like to give the shir Le'ilu Nishmas, my paternal grandmother, Olam HaShalom, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Moras Sprintz Bas Hechova Alexander, my father's mother. And of course, I'll also give the shir, and the zechus of the shir should help Louis towards Rufus Shalema. Okay, Tehillim chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hakel Tomim Darko. Hakel Tomim Darko. Hashem is a God who his ways are perfect. Imras Hashem Tzurufa. The word of God is refined. Mogin Hu. He is a shield, l'chol hachosimbo, to all who take refuge in him. So Hashem protects those who seek his protection. I'll do it one more time. Hakel tomim darko, God, his ways are pure. Imras Hashem tzurufa, the word of God is pure or refined, might be a better translation. Mogin hu, he is a shield, l'chol hachosimbo, to all who seek refuge in him. Okay, so Imras Hashem Tzurufa. So Hakel Tomim Darko, God is, his ways are perfect. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God is refined. So Rashi explains, what does it mean Imras Hashem Tzurufa, that the word of God is refined? Says Rashi, Barura, his words are clear, like something which is refined, like a refined metal. It has a clarity which it does not have in its unrefined state. So it's Barura, it's clear. Mavtiach ve'oseh. Hashem promises ve'oseh, and then he carries out his promise. He doesn't promise, he won't guarantee anything empty, no empty promises. Mavtiach ve'oseh, he promises something, he guarantees something ve'oseh, and then he does it. And that's how Rashi explains the phrase, Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God is refined. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of Hashem is refined. Rashi's expression, three words, Barura, Mavtiach ve'oseh. His word is clear, and he guarantees, and he does it. Okay, the Targum translates Imras Hashem Tzurufa. The Lashon of Targum is Eloka Hashem, Techivnon Orchose, whose way is straight. Oh, that's how he out translates Tomim Darko. Oraisa Dashem Bechira. The Torah of God is choice. So in other words, or perfect, if you like. In other words, what the Targum does is he translates Imras as Teras, the Torah of Hashem. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God is refined. So he translates it as Oraisa Dashem Bechira. The Torah of God is refined or is pure or is choice. That's how the Targum translates Imras. So the word Imras refers to the Torah itself. The word of God. The word of God. What is the word of God? Yes. It's the Torah.
Yeah.
So Torah. So Oraisa Dashem Bechira. Yeah, exactly. Speaking to us. Yeah. The Mesudas David says, what does it mean, Tomim Darko, that Hashem's ways are perfect, his way is perfect, Ligmo la'odom kemifolo, to repay a person according to his deeds. In other words, a person receives sachar and onesh, a person receives reward for his good deeds and punishment for his bad deeds. And that's how we explain Tomim Darko, the way of God is perfect, his way is perfect. Ligmo la'odom kemifolo, Hashem repays a person according to whatever he's done. And then the Mesudas David goes on to say, Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God is refined, and he explains it like silver, kekesef, like silver without any impurities whatsoever. That's actually echoed in many, many Mefarshim. They say Tzurufa, which is the way refined, like you might refine a metal. So that's the idea. That's how the Mesudas David explains it as well, that when you purify silver, you get rid of all these impurities, and that is and the word of Hashem is like that, totally rid of any impurities. There's absolutely nothing, no element of wastage or any bad aspect whatsoever to Hashem's word. Good. There's nothing in the words of Hashem which are botel. There's nothing there for no reason. The Radak says, he comments on this word Hokel, the first word in the pasuk, Hokel, using the word, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kael, Aleph Lamed, that word actually means a power. Like we say, Michamecha Ba'elim Hashem, who is like you among all powers. It's pasuk in the Shira, it's Shmos chapter Tesvav, pasuk Yodalef, Michamecha Ba'elim Hashem. The word El means a power. Yeah, you have it as well in the Gemara. The Gemara's expression is kol da'alim gevar. When the Gemara's got a shiloh on Momonos, I think the Gemara right at the beginning of Bava Metzia discusses a ship that's out at sea and it's hefka. And there's nobody, it's floating around at sea. Kol da'alim gevar. Whoever can make a kinyan on it first, good luck to him. Kol da'alim. Whoever's strong, gevar, he will prevail, he will succeed. So alim is an expression of strength. And this idea we have here with using Hashem's name is kael. That word kael means powerful. Says the Radak, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shayecholes biyado. He has power in his hands. He's all capable of anything. And with that, the Radak explains, therefore it means that he goes along with the Mitzvot Dovid Pshat as well, that Hashem is all capable, all powerful, and he can repay a person for his deeds, both good and bad. Okay? He will always repay a person according to his deeds. And the Radak says it means that David is saying Hashem will repay me for my tzidkus, yeah, for my righteousness, and he'll repay my enemies for their rishus. Yes, Hashem is all powerful and he can repay according to a person's abilities. It ties in as well with the Radak's pshat that Hashem repays me for my tzidkus and repays the rishoyim for their my enemies with it for their rishus. That ties in with what we had earlier, pasuk kaf aleph, where the pasuk said yigmeleni Hashem kitzidki, Hashem will repay me for my righteousness. So it goes in with this one. Hashem is tomim darko, hokel tomim darko, is the all powerful God whose way is perfect. I saw in a sefer called Beis Levi,
yeah,
on actually commenting on a later pasuk, pasuk Lamed Gimel. You see, the pasuk Lamed Gimel also begins with the same word, hokel. Yeah. And on that pasuk, I just happened to spot it on that word hokel. He points out in the sefer Beis Levi, it's got a hey hayudia, the hey at the beginning. Mm. It's not just kale. Mm. Kale means a power, but hokel is the power. Okay. It's the hey hayudia at the beginning, the hey at the beginning, which tells you it's the power. It's, and he says it's elokei ha'elokim va'adonei ha'adonim, the God of gods and the master of masters, i.e. the one and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how he puts with Hokel. That's his comment on Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Yeah. Funnily enough, he doesn't put it on our Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he puts it later on Pasuk Lamed Gimel, but it's just as relevant to our Pasuk. Okay, the Shlah in his Pirush on Tehillim points out that the Pasuk is telling us Hokel, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful, because the word kael demonstrates power, like aloma or kol da'alim, which is all expressions of strength, or michamucha ba'ilim Hashem, all expressions of strength. Even though Hashem is hokel, the all-powerful, nevertheless, tomim darko. Nevertheless, he treats everybody extremely fairly. His way is perfect. He treats people fairly, pays them, rewards them for their good deeds and punishes them for their bad deeds, despite his immense power. Immense power means he could wreak horrendous problems on mankind. No, he will only do it where it's deserving. Okay, yeah, the Radak's got a very nice loshon on Imras Hashem Tzurufa. The word of Hashem is refined. Let me read you the Radak. She'in b'chol mishpotov sig. There is nothing untoward or nothing bad or no wastage in all his laws. Elo hakol al kav hayosher v'emunah. Everything is along the fine line of correctness and faith. That's the very beautiful words there from the Radak. So that's how he explains Imras Hashem Tzurufa. The word of Hashem is refined. Okay, Minchas Shai. The Minchas Shai points out on the wording at the end, Mogin hu Hashem is a shield, l'chol hachusim bo. Now, in my copy here in Tehillim, that word hachusim is spelt with a vav. The Minchas Shai points out that there are some sforim which have the girsa of hachusim without the letter vav. And I'll mention it now. The parallel posuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and it's Pasuk Lamed Aleph again. The Pasuk there is absolutely identical to our Pasuk. You know, we often compare the Pasuk in the version of Shmuel Beis, and we see all the little differences. There is barely a difference between our Pasuk and the Pasuk there. The Neginis are different, because the Neginis and Tehillim are different from the Neginis and the rest of Nach. But Hokel Tomim Darko Imras Hashem Tzurufa Mogen Hulachol Achusim Bo, I've just read it there from Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It's the identical Pasuk with the one change that Hachosim is spelt without a Vav. Here in Tehillim it's spelt with a Vav. But the Minchas Shai points out that some Svarim, pardon, you've got it in yours without a Vav. Oh, so in mine I've got it with a Vav. You've got it with a Vav, I've got it here with a Vav. Yeah, yeah, I believe you 100%. You know why? Because the Minchas Shai says that some Svarim in Tehillim also have the Girsa without the Vav. So, anyway, and if it is without the Vav, then the Pasuk in Tehillim is absolutely letter for letter the same as the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Okay? So we actually are not going to be learning, we usually learn the Abar Banel, who discusses the differences between the two chapters. We're not going to be learning that today, because there are no differences. Okay, let's come on to the piece of Me'iri. The Me'iri explains on our Pasuk, the Sukkah of Gemara Kiddushin, Taf Beis Amud Beis, of course, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin begins, Isha Niknes B'Sholish Derachim. A woman can get married with three, any one of three ways. Now, the number Sholosh is a feminine number. Masculine number for three would be Shalosha. So the Gemara gets very excited there, the beginning of Kiddushin, Taf Beis Amud Beis, pointing out that therefore the word Derech, says the Gemara, must be feminine. Because it's got the word Sholosh. The number Sholosh is the feminine number three. Sholosh is feminine. No. Oh, thank you for asking. Sholosh is definitely feminine. Sholosh is definitely masculine. And I'll give you an easy way of remembering. You know, it's the reverse of what you expect. It is. When a noun finishes with a komatsu hei, when a noun finishes with a komatsu hei, it's usually feminine. Correct? That's like Torah, Chachma, Yirah, all those nouns. Komatsu hei ending is normally feminine, right? Yeah. Normally. But when a number finishes with a komatsu hei, like Shlosha, Arba'o, Hamisha, Shisha, Shiva, Shemila, Tisha, and Asara, up to number 10, those are masculine endings. It's the opposite from what you expect. And when the number does not finish with a komatsu hei, then it's feminine. And an easy way of remembering it, and I tell this to all my lads in Pardes, an easy way of remembering is from Echad Miodea, where we say, Arba imohos, Shalosha Ovos. Arba goes with Imohos. Got to be feminine. There's nothing more feminine than a mother. Right? Yeah. And Shalosha Ovos is nothing more masculine than a father. So the number Shalosha goes with Ovos. That's masculine. And Arba is feminine. So when the number finishes with the comma say it's masculine, when the number does not finish with the comma say it's feminine. So the Me'iri points out here that here we've got Tomim Darko. Now Tomim is masculine. If it would be feminine, it would be Tomima. Yes, Tomima. Oh, wonderful. Right, you've just answered another question. Brilliant. Okay, alright. Okay. I was wondering, I'm going to do a quick diversion here onto what you just said. I looked at this word Tomim, and I thought it's a plural of Tom. And how can it be a plural when Darko is singular? So I think that must be the answer, yeah. I was wondering, how can Tomim be... How can you use the word Tomim? Because to me, I thought the word Tomim sounded plural. And I thought this singular must be Tom. In which case, how can it go with Darko? Because Darko means his way and is singular. Mm. So I had that as a kasha. And I looked at all these for him and not one sefer mentioned the kasha. But now, of course, what you just said, Norman, is the answer. Tomim is singular. Tomimo is the feminine singular. Tomim is the masculine singular. I suppose it's an extended form of the word Tom. So Tomim is still singular. Tomimo would be singular feminine. Thank you. Right. Oh, Sviggus, that answers that problem. And I've got that jotted down here on my sheet of paper here, but you've just answered it. Shkoyach. Okay, let's come back to the Me'iri. So the Me'iri mentions this Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Beis Amud Beis, which discusses, is the word Derech masculine or feminine? Well, from the Mishnah there, the beginning of Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah implies that the word Derech must be feminine, because it's got Hoish and Niknes, B'Sholosh, Derochim, and Sholosh is feminine, so it goes with the word Sholosh, so Sholosh is feminine, so Derech must be feminine. So the Gemara there brings a Pasuk in Shemos, chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Kaf, V'hudaton lohem es haderech yelchuvo. V'hudaton lohem es haderech yelchuvo. You should inform them of the way that they shall go on it. Now, vo is clearly feminine, and it goes on that word haderech. Therefore, says the Gemara, that shows you the word derech is feminine. But then the Gemara quotes another Pasuk, as a Pasuk in Devarim, chapter Kaf Ches, Pasuk Zayin. where the pasuk says, "Bederech echod yetsu elecha," they shall go. Your enemies will come out against you in one as one, in one path. But they'll flee in seven different directions. That's one of the brachas. Yeah, before just for the tochacha. So we can see. No, it's actually in Kisovo. It's in the brachas in Kisovo. So from that pasuk, you see the Bederech Echod. Now, the word, the number Echod is the masculine number one. The feminine would be Echos or Achas. Echos is the plural form, would be Achas. So why is it? So here you see, from this pasuk, you see the word Derech is masculine. So the Gemara says, what's going on? This word Derech sometimes is masculine, sometimes is feminine. What's going on? So the Gemara says there that in the pasuk that speaks about the Torah, Vehudatolo Hemes ad Derech Yelchuvo, you shall inform them of the way, and the way is the Torah. The word Torah is feminine, and therefore it's Yelchuvo. That's in the feminine. Whereas Milchoma, talking about going out to war, B'derech Echod Yetzu Elecha, is referring to war, and who fights wars? Men fight wars, not women, and therefore it's put in the masculine. That's the Gemara's answer there. So we can see that sometimes the word derech appears in masculine, sometimes it appears in the feminine. It all depends what the context is, as you said, Norman. Yeah, it depends on the context. So I was wondering that maybe in our pasuk, because we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hokel Tomim Darko, and we always refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the masculine, so therefore it's put in the masculine, Tomim. Mm. Yeah? Tomim, and that's why it's in the masculine form. Okay, let's have a look at a Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis. It's on the third last narrowed line there. Amar Rabbi Yosha ben Levi. The Gemara is discussing there that Torah, if studied correctly, is wonderful, and if studied incorrectly or it gets into the wrong hands, it's like a poison. It can have a ruinous effect on a person who doesn't treat the Torah correctly. He may well learn Torah, but if he doesn't, take it incorrectly,
his attitude
is wrong, then it has a destructive effect on him. So, okay, have a look at the Gemara here in Yomot Afayin Beis Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yosha ben Levi, my dechsev, what is the pshat in the pasuk, v'zos ha-Torah she-som Moshe? Now, we're homing in on the word som. The word som, spelled sin mem, is explained by the Gemara to be synonymous with some. With a samach mem. Sam means a potion. Zocha, if a person merits it, he merits the Torah learning, then nasis lo samachayim. Then the Torah is a potion of life for him. Lo zocha, if he's not zocha, nasis lo samisa, then it's a potion of death for him. Okay, the Hainudoma Rava, this Harava learns it as well. Du'uman la, samadachaya, someone who's an expert in Torah, who's deserving of the Torah. Uman might be a lashon of emunah, he learns Torah and he's got emunah in Hashem. Samadachaya, then the Torah is a potion of life. Delo uman la, if he's without the emunah, samadamosa, then it's a dangerous potion. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani quotes Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason Rami. Rabbi Yonason had a contradiction between two pasukim. Kasiv. We have a pasuk which says Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. That's a pasuk in Tehillim chapter Yutes pasuk Tes. Pekudei is coming up. Chapter Yutes, next chapter. We should get to it within a few years. So Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. The commandments of Hashem are straight. Misamchei Lev. They give joy to the heart. Uchasiv, yet we have a pasuk, this is Rabbi Yonason's contradiction, Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the saying of God is Tzurufa, is refined. Now, so Rabbi Yonason's question is, the word Tzurufa implies a certain hardship, that when you refine something, it's got to go through a very difficult process. When you refine a metal, for example, let's say you heat it up. So you heat up a metal in order to extract certain the elements within the mixture that are impurities. So to remove them, you've got to heat it up first. And heating it up, you're making the metal go through a difficult process. But the heating process, I don't know if the heating will remove it or a later process, but in order to reach, to be able to remove the impurities, you first have to heat up the metal. Now, that means you're putting that metal through a very difficult, tough process of intense heat. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God, is Tzurufa, is a purification process. Well, which is it? Rabbi Yonasan asks this question. On the one hand, we've got the pasuk later in chapter Yotes, Pikutei Hashem Yeshorim Masam Chelev, they give joy. Yet here we have Imras Hashem Tzurufa. It's a very hard, tough process. The word, the Torah of Hashem, is a purification. And purification involves putting the metal through its paces and giving it a tough time, but for example, through heat.
Well, learning Torah is not easy.
Oh, learning Torah is not easy. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a nice answer. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't give that answer. But maybe because it's not just not easy, it's tzurufa. Do you know, I'm going
tried,
to...
Tried and tested.
Yeah, tried and tested. Put through its paces. It's a tough business. Yeah, it's true. I don't think that's the Gemara's kasha, though. I think Rabbi Yonasan's kasha is tzurufa means you're put through the mill. I don't know. All right, maybe the answer is a good answer. I don't know. It's not the Gemara's answer. I think the thrust of Rabbi Yonasan's contradiction is, on the one hand, we've got Pikud Hashem Yishorim Sam Chelev, gives joy. On the other hand, Tzurufa, if something is Tzurufa, something that goes through a purification process, it's downtrodden, it's beaten out of it. The impurities are bashed out of it. Yeah. Something like that. Now, before we come on to the answer of the Gemara, let me just explain the way the Gemara's kasha works. And this explanation is brought by Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch on Tehillim. He says as follows. The way we've understood the pasuk so far is Imras Hashem Tzurufa. The word Tzurufa is an adjective. The word of God is refined. That's how we've explained it so far. Tzurufa, it is refined. Says Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch, this Gemara is not understanding the word Tzurufa as an adjective refined. It understands the word Tzurufa as a noun. And the noun Tzurufa means purification. And now the Gemara's kasha makes sense to us. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God, is a purification process. Not it is refined, it's a purification. In other words, the person is put through a purification process. Not that the word of God is purified, but the person goes through this purification. Imras Hashem Tzurufa. And Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch says, you see, the word Tzurufa, understanding the word Tzurufa as refined, as an adjective, refined, works beautifully with the Hebrew grammar. Because, for example, you have matzah shemura, guarded matzah. Matzah shemura, yeah? So the word shemura can mean guarded, which is, if you like, some kind of adjective about the matzah. The matzah has been guarded, okay? So it's some kind of adjective description of the matzah. Says Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch, it's not to be understood here as an adjective, refined, that the word of God is refined. It's to be understood as a noun. The Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God, is a purification process. And he says, I can prove to you from other similar words that the word Tzurufa can be taken as a noun, purification. Why? And he gives three examples. His three examples are Yeshua, Gevura, and Melucha. All those words have the same pattern. Yeshua, Gevura, Melucha, Tzurufa. So Yeshua means salvation. It's a noun. Gevura, strength. It's a noun. Melucha, kingdom, monarchy. It's a noun. So he says Tzurufa is also a noun. And it means purification. Says, that's what lies behind the Gemara's kasha. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God is a purification process. Hence, it's a purification process for the person. Hence, we have a kasha. Hence, Rabbi Yonasan has this contradiction between the two pesukim. We've got, Pikud Hashem Yishorim Sam Chelev, gives joy. How can that be? Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of God is a purification process. And the person gets bashed out and is put through his paces as he studies Torah. So how can that be? Hence the Gemara's kasha. We've had Rabbi Yonasan's kasha, his contradiction between Pikud Hashem Yishorim Sam Chelev and Imras Hashem Tzurufa. Yeah. So, and we've had the explanation of Rabbi Shimshon Feil Hirsch that Tzurufa is a noun and it means purification. That the word of God is a purification process for the person. So Rabbi Yonasan answers, or the Gemara answers, It depends. Zocha, if he's zocha to the to Torah, if he's on the right level, then misamachto, then it gives him simcha. Torah gives him simcha. Lo zocha, if he's not zocha, then sarafto, then it'll purify him. I.e., it'll put him through his. It'll be a purification process, which will not be a pleasant one for the person if he learns Torah and he's not zochetu. He's not worthy. He's not Yirei Hashem. Yeah. Something like that. He's not zochetu. Maybe he learns Torah.
Doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah, or he learns Torah for the wrong reasons. That's also how the Mefarshim here say he learns Torah for the wrong reasons. Exactly. Yeah. Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish, scientifically says, Migufei Tekro Nafka. We can extract this from the Pasuk itself. You don't need to have two Pasukim, Pekudi Hashem Yishav Yisam Chalev, together with Imras Hashem Tzrifa. Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish says, get it all from the one Pasuk. Reish Lakish Omar, Migufei Tekro, from our Pasuk Nafka, we can extract this. Zocha, if a person learns Torah and he's Zocha, he learns so for the right reasons, then tzorafto l'chayim, it'll purify him for life, to give him life. Lo zocha, if he learns so for the wrong reasons and he's not zocha, then tzorafto l'misa, then he'll still go through a purification process, and it'll be the most unpleasant process of all, of knocking, you know, of really putting him through his paces, and it'll be rather the equivalent of heating up a metal, so the person suffers in the process. So Reish Lakish learns it all from the one pasuk, Tzorafto. Imras Hashem Tzorufa, the word of God is a purification. If he's Zoche, it'll purify him for the good. If he's not Zoche, then he'll really suffer in the process. That's how the Gemara learns it here. The Marsha explains our Gemara, according to Reish Lakish, that our pasuk Imras Hashem Tzurufa could well refer to the person who is Zoche. If he's Zoche, then how come he has to suffer purification process? If he is Zoche, if he learns Torah for all the right reasons, he's learning Torah, good reasons, and he's a Baal Emunah, and he's a good person, he's a good Yid, and he learns Torah, so he is Zoche. How come Tzurufa? How come he has to suffer? And the Marsha explains it that based on the Gemara we learned recently in Amud Yomi in Brachas Taf Hei Amud Aleph, he will suffer Yisurim Shalava. He suffered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him pain and difficulties, but it's all Shalava is to give him an even greater reward in Olam Haba. Makes him suffer in Olam Hazeh in order to give him a greater reward. So that's. Of course, hard to understand. Yeah.
Probably illnesses, God forbid.
Exactly. Any kind of trouble, problem. Yeah, of course it is. Yisurim Shalava. But that's the Gemara. So that's how the Gemara learns. Yisurim Shalava. So Brachas Taf Hei Amud Aleph. And says the Marsha, that's how we can understand Reish Lakish learning Imras Hashem Tzurufa for the one who is Zoche.
It elevates him, you could say. Because he's managed to succeed to get through them. And he'll be Zoche to Olam Haba.
Correct. Tzurufa, that's right. He'll suffer, but it's L'chaim. Exactly. He's given a good portion of Olam Haba. He'll suffer. So that's Tzurafta L'chaim. It'll purify him, and he will suffer, Yisurim Shalava, but it'll be L'chaim. It'll be ultimately for his benefit to give him Chaim. Yeah. The riff in the Ein Yaakov, that's not the same as the riff in the back of the Gemara, the riff on the Ein Yaakov says about Reish Lakish's pshat, that a person, Tzurafta L'chaim, that he'll be rewarded and he'll be purified for life. Says the riff, it follows the posuk, because the posuk continues, Mogein hu l'cholachosim bo. Hashem is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Well, what kind of person are we talking about? We're talking about someone who's a tzaddik. Mogein hu l'cholachosim bo. Hashem will protect, it acts as a shield to those who take refuge in him. So obviously it's talking about a tzaddik. And that goes very, very beautifully with Reish Lakish's pshat, that Imras Hashem Tzurufa can well refer to someone who is Zoche, who is a good person, and Tzurafta L'chaim, he gets Chaim, because it follows the continuity of the pasuk as well.
Oh, yeah. Is this tzaddik
and stuff
at all interchangeable?
Yes. Oh, thank you. That's also what goes on the earlier part of the pasuk, earlier part of this Gemara, where we said, V'zos HaTorah Shesom Moshe. Som is with the sin. Sam, and we said it, Sam Chayim, Sam Misa, which is with the Samach. They are definitely interchangeable. There's a lovely word for it in English. Samach and a sin more than a shin. But a shin as well sometimes. I'll give you a few examples. In English they're called sibilant. A sibilant sound is a S sound. The S sound. Yeah, like the letter C in ceiling. Yeah? The letter S These are sibilant, and a sh, all like sh sound is a sibilant, or the s in this word shore. Sibilant, a sibilant sound.
It's all with the tongue in the front of the palate.
Yeah, you're pressing your tongue against the front of your teeth.
Front of your,
or the back of
your teeth.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So that sound is in English called a sibilant sound. Are they interchangeable? Definitely yes. For example, you have the word semicha, which means a blanket. Yeah. It's sometimes spelt with a sin. It's sometimes spelt with a samach. I'll give you a classic example, though, and I give this example in school, when I teach this in school, and that is in Kel Odon, Shabbos morning, Kel Odon, Kel Odon, Al Kol Ha'Ma'asim, Baruch HaMerech Mikol Neshamah, it follows to the Aleph base. Kel Odon, Al Kol Ha'Ma'asim, Baruch HaMerech Mikol Neshamah, God Levitav, Malayalam, Da'as HaSvana, sure, follows the Aleph base, yeah? It follows the Aleph base, right? Each phrase beginning with the next letter of the Aleph base. When you get to the letter Samach, it's Semechim B'Tseisam V'Sosim B'Vom, which has, it's spelt with a sin. Semechim B'Tseisam. So when you get to the letter Samach, it's
actually
Sof
and
Tzadi
are not done exactly the same way.
No,
I just worked it out.
Sof and Tzadi, yeah, but they're both sibilant sounds. They are definitely interchangeability. Definitely, yeah. You know, here's a good example. You also find it with a root. Tzadi Ayin Kuf means to cry out, and it's interchangeable with Zayin Ayin Kuf, which also means to cry out. Z'oka and Z'oka, very similar sounds.
Yeah. The reason why I raised that is that you're talking about Surufor, and I could say Turufor, it's like it is a medicine.
Oh, yeah, Turufor. So oh, right.
You better go through a refining process.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Could be. Yeah, very nice. Turufor is the medicine, and Surufor is the purification process. Yeah. Hey, very nice.
These letters are interchangeable. So'ako and zo'ako.
That's right.
And they sound similar.
They are, because they're both sibilants. A Z or a Zion is a sibilant.
Yeah.
It's a sibilant sound.
Right?
Okay, so that's based on that interchangeability. Is how we down from resist Hatosha some. Moshe, Som with a sin, but it's the Gemara dashes it as Sam with a Samach, potion, Samchaim, Samisa, depending on whether your person's zocher to it or not. Okay. The Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, it's Perik Mem Dalad Os Aleph, says, relates our posuk. Relates our posuk to none other than one particular person, Avraham Avinu. And it's connected, there are a few connections in our posuk to Avraham Avinu. One is the word Tomim. Hokel Tomim Darko. Hashem is Tomim Darko, his way is perfect. That word Tomim links into Avraham Avinu, because with Avraham Avinu, there's a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, it's Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Aleph, where Hashem says to Avraham, Hishalech Lefonai Veheye Somim, go before me and be perfect. That's the introduction to the parash of Bris Milah. So the word Tomim links into Avraham Avinu. Likewise, we have Mogein Hu, Hashem is a shield, Lachalachosimbo, and a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, chapter Tes Vav, pasuk Aleph, where the pasuk says, Hashem says to Avram, Anochi Mogein Loch, I am a shield to you. Anochi Mogein Loch, I'm a shield to you.
Zechor
Chahabim
or something, isn't it?
Yeah, well done. Yeah, Zechor Chahabim Eret. Expert on Lech Lecha. Yeah, yeah. So Anochi Mogein Loch, Zechor Chahabim Eret. So these two words, Tomim Darko, the word Tomim links into Hisalech Lefana Veye Somim, and Onochi Mogein Loch, Hashem said Avram, links in with Mogein Hu. So from here we.
Mogein Avram.
Mogein Avram, absolutely right. Yeah, all from that posuk, Onochi Mogein Loch, Mogein Avram. Yeah, correct. So the Medrash Rabbah and also the Medrash Shochet Tov on our pasuk explain how this relates to Avraham Avinu and says in what way is Imras Hashem Tzurufa, the word of Hashem is a purification process for Avraham Avinu. Why? Because Avraham Avinu had to undergo 10 tests. And those 10 tests served for Avraham as a purification process. Because he went through all these 10 tests and passed each one, of course. And it was a purification process for Avraham Avinu.
Elevating him,
precisely. Yeah. So the Medrash HaChatzov lists the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. And here is the list as it's brought in the Medrash HaChatzov on our Pasuk. I'm going to go through the 10.
Versions, aren't there?
I'm going to go through three. Yeah. I'm going to go through, it won't take long, I'm going to go through three different versions of the tests of Avraham Avinu, of the 10 tests for Avraham Avinu. Yeah. So first we'll learn according to the Medrash HaChatzov on our Pasuk. Number one was he was thrown into the Kivshan HaEish, into the fire furnace by Nimrod. Number two was Lech Lecha Me'atzecha, he had to leave his homeland. Number three, Sarah was taken into the house of Paro. Number four, Sarah was taken to the house of Avimelech. Number five was marrying Hagar on the advice of Sarah. Number six was driving away Ishmael, his son. Number seven was fighting the kings. Number eight was the Bris Milah. Number nine was the Bris Ben Habasarim, where Avraham was told that his children were going to slavery. Va'avadum v'inu osam. And number 10 was the Akedah. That is the list of 10 Nisyonos as brought in the Medrash HaChatzov. However, on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey Mishnah Gimel, which speaks about Asa Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham, Avraham had to undergo 10 tests, there the Rambam brings a different cheshbon as the 10 tests. Now the Rambam says that those 10 tests are all mentioned mefurish in the Pasuk. They're all mefurish in the Pasukim. Yeah? Whereas the Medrash HaChatzov learned that the very first one was Avraham being thrown into the Kivshan HaEish by Nimrod. That is not in a Pasuk, that's a Medrash. It's not in a Pasuk. So the Rambam doesn't go for that one, because the Rambam only lists Nisyonos that are written Mefurish in the Torah. So here's the Rambam's list of 10 tests. Number one is Lech Lecha, leaving his homeland. Number two was arriving in Canaan only to discover there was a famine there, by Yirav Baretz. Number three was Sarah being taken by Paro. Number four is the war against the kings. Number five is marrying Hagar. Number six is the Bris Milah. Number seven is Sarah being taken by Avimelech, Melech Gerar. Number eight is driving Hagar away. Number nine is driving Yishmael away. So the Rambam lists those as two separate tests. One was Hagar, his own wife, and number two is Yishmael, his own child. And number ten is the Akedah. That is the list as brought by the Rambam on that Mishnah. Pirush HaMishnayos, and the Rambam brings that one. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos, brings a different list. And here's Rabbeinu Yonah's list. Number one, being thrown into the Kivshan HaEish by Nimrod. Number two is Lech Lecha, being driven out of his land. Number three is arriving in Canaan and finding the famine in Canaan. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Avraham, V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos v'adoma, that's Pasuk in Lech Lecha, chapter Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, that all nations of the world would be blessed through you. So Avraham might think to himself, well, if I arrive in Canaan, there's not going to be a famine there. The bracha, I'm a walking bracha machine. Yeah. So he arrives in Canaan, just comes as a famine there. So hey, well, Hashem told me I'd be a bracha. What kind of bracha is that? So it was almost like he could make Avraham have second thoughts about the validity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. No, he didn't have any second thoughts. Oh, it's coming. Oh, yeah, come, promise it. How many children?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Number four, still with the list of Rabbeinu Yonah. Number four is Sarah being taken by Paro. Number five is the war against the kings. Number six is the Bris Milah at the young age of 99 years old. 99 years young.
Number prophetic in those days.
Of course, yeah. Number seven, and he had to do it himself. Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Number seven is Sarah being taken by Avimelech. Number eight is driving away both Hagar with Yishmael. Number nine is the Akedah. And number 10, this is famous opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, that the 10th test that Avraham underwent was not the Akedah. It was the burial of Sarah. Because he'd been told that Eretz Canaan belonged to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Pasuk in Lech Lecha, chapter Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the land is yours. Just you walk around that land, it's all yours. He arrives, he wants to bury Sarah. He's got to buy Ma'aras HaMachpela.
Exorbitant
price. And he's buying what has already belongs to him. I remember that when my brother Cheskel's bar mitzvah, he was given a sefer, I can't remember the name of the sefer, is a remarkable sefer, all about the 10 tests of Avraham. Someone wrote a sefer about the 10 tests of Avraham. Just, and obviously all these opinions are discussed. Yeah, he's got that sefer somewhere with him. Yeah. Oh, now, let me tell you one last piece of Medrash HaKetuv, and that is Medrash HaKetuv on our pasuk. Umas ha'ulam umrim. The nations of the world say, Loma HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechabiv l'Avraham. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so beloved of Avram, or rather, why is Avram so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hitzila mikiv shano ish, Hashem saved him from the fiery furnace, I mean Tisha Menachim, and from the war where there were 9 kings involved, v'uchlusin, and loads of enemy soldiers, or mikol hatsarish avalov, and every single problem that Avram suffers, he came through it all. Why? Amalehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem replies to them, Harini Omer, Lo, because I told him, Shiakov Espino, that he should offer up his son, V'hushameli, and he listened to me, V'chose bi, and he takes refuge in me, L'fichoch ani megino, therefore I protect him, like I'm a shield to him, I shield him. Heve mogen hu l'cholachosim bo, and that's a pshat in our posuk, mogen hu l'cholachosim bo, Avram took refuge in me, and therefore I am a shield to him. Ulamachar, and in the future, Mavarchim Bono Bisfila, Baruch Magen Avram. You mentioned it earlier. Yeah. And in the future times, Hashem says, he responds to these nations, why do I shower Avraham with such favoritism? Because of what he done, what he did. He was prepared to sacrifice Yitzchak, and he trusts in me, he takes refuge in me. And in future years, his descendants will recite the bracha, Baruch Magen Avraham.
So the Mogen goes with Avraham together.
Absolutely, so, Magen Avraham. Yeah, but that's based on Anuchi Mogen Loch, which we mentioned earlier. Okay, should we leave it there?
You trust in me and I will
to be continued. Sure, yeah.
I will help you.
That's right. You trust, take refuge in me, and I'll be your shield.
Yeah, yeah.
To be continued. Still quite a lot more on this pasuk.